Ben Criddle talks with players and coaches from the BYU men's hoops team and breaks down what you need to know as Mark Pope and the Cougars chase greatness. It's time to get relentless with BYU basketball right now on Cougar Sports.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Criddle, broadcasting live from Chubby's Cafe in Pleasant Grove. Come and get the delicious Chubby's. If you've not tried the Chubby's scones, the Chubby's fries, which one do you like better, beer batter fries or the Chubby's scones?
Beer batter fries.
All day, every day?
Nothing beats the beer batter fries dipped in that Chubby sauce. Holy cow, so good. But I feel like I'm disrespecting their delicious scones, which are absolutely delicious. But to me, nothing's better than the beer batter fries.
Stop by, say hello, 336 South Main Street in Pleasant Grove. It is time for a relentless segment. Going to delve into Mark Pope commentary from his press conference with the former BYU great. It's going to be brought to you by Dental Pros of Utah, dentalprosofutah.com. If you've been told you need a filling, crown, root canal, get a second opinion at Dental Pros of Utah, where they utilize the best biomimetic techniques, minimally invasive techniques, to rebuild your teeth layer by layer, so that you can save your teeth and save your money in the long run. DentalProsOfUtah.com. All right, let's get out to the Underdog Fantasy Hotline and welcome in former BYU great, the sharpshooter, the Brazilian bomber, the American assassin. Yes, indeed, one of the best three-point shooters in BYU basketball history. It's March Madness time, and who better to discuss March Madness with my man JT, JT4343, JT Jonathan Tavernari. What's up, JT?
You know, I am a big fan of the Buffalo chicken sandwich over there.
It's good, huh?
They have figured that out to perfection. I gotta tell you, whenever I go there, I ask for the sweet buffalo.
Yeah.
And oh my gosh, just with the coleslaw and just everything on it, it is heaven on earth. And there's scones. Oh my gosh. So
I love that. That's a good breakdown. Yeah. Right there. We might have to have like a special Jonathan Tavernari sandwich here, where you kind of concoct your own chicken buffalo sandwich with all the dressings, all the sides there.
Hey man,
we'll call it the Brazilian chicken bomber.
The Brazilian chicken bomber. I'll work with that. We'll make it happen. That'll
yes,
be cool.
Yes, sir. JT, first off, give me your thoughts on March Madness this far. Anything that has stood out to you? Anything that has shocked and rocked your world?
You know, obviously when you have a big upset, you know, like Virginia losing, you know, to me that was the most glaring one, especially because, you know, that guy on the corner, I mean, there has been instances where I've done that, you know, in practices, or, you know, I did it twice in game in Italy, and nobody knows what's happening, but that's a great way to run out the clock. But not when you have like 8, 9, 10 seconds left, like they did. And, you know, that was just a bad play, and it was just, it was a good idea, just incredibly terrible execution. And, you know, but the tournament has been fun. It's been great to see, you know, teams perform and rise to the occasion. It's interesting when you look at Creighton and you look at some of the teams that BYU has faced, and they played yesterday and played today. You know, it leaves a little bit of a, you know, woulda, coulda, shoulda taste in your mouth, you know, and it's just one of those things that it's, you know, you wish things could have done differently. But if you remember one of the first interviews we did just before the season started, I even called and I said, I just don't think this team is going to win 20 games. And that's not a knock on anybody, right? I mean, that's not even a knock on Mark Pope and his staff. The players were young in terms of playing with each other and being next to each other and so on. It was just a situation where, you know, they didn't have experience, right? But then, you know, the things that makes us pull our hairs is, oh, you know, so close on those really big games of Gonzaga and with St. Mary's.
Yep.
But then losing weird ones on the road and even at home, that you're like, what is happening here? And so to me, you know, that type of consistency is what was most disappointing this year, right? Sure. And especially looking at March Madness, teams that either, you know, click at the right moment or have a magical run at the tournament. But teams that are consistent throughout the year are the ones that get rewarded. You know, look at Boise State. Look at San Diego State. Look at Utah State. Teams that were consistent throughout the year, they get to play in the postseason.
Yes, indeed. JT for three here on ESPN 960. JT, a couple things here regarding March Madness before we transition over to Mark Pope press conference, and I'll give you a sound bite that you can listen in on and want to get your thoughts on it. Hunter Miller sure. from the Hype Train podcast put together a fantastic conversation yesterday with his build your best starting five with $15. Now, there were guys that were omitted, we get it, but with the guys that were on there, I thought there was some really good basketball players, some of the best basketball players in BYU basketball history. What was your starting five with the $15 allocated?
You know, I will say this. Since I'm the only one in school history that has won a Sixth Man of the Year award, I'm going to bring myself off the bench. So I'm going to take myself off the equation. But
All right.
You know, I would probably have a mix of Chosich and Jimmer, and then Kyle Collinsworth.
Yeah.
And then Chase Fisher, and try to figure out a way to make the math work for, you know, to get Lee Kamard there, you know, and to get that type of lineup and so on. It's very difficult, right? I mean, I've been engaging with those threads, the one for the Hype Train and the one from you. It's interesting because when you look at players' values and so on, you're like, hey, you know, why is this guy even there? Or why is this guy a part of this? And, mm-hmm. you know, and so on. I think a lot of it has to do presence on social media and how much they engage, and also how much, you know, the guys doing this are kind of on the younger spectrum, right?
Sure.
Keenan Young wasn't there. Travis Hansen wasn't there. Mm-hmm. Monson wasn't there. The other guy that had their jersey retired with Monson wasn't there. Jeff Chapman wasn't there. They had Jake Toulson in there, but they didn't have Andy Toulson in there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
so, you know, they didn't have Fred Roberts. They didn't have, and so they
Greg
didn't
Kite.
Have, you know, yeah, Greg Kai. They didn't have Jeff
McKelly
Chapman.
Wesley. So,
McKelly Wesley, right? I mean, the only time the BYU won the conference, no, the regular season and the conference tournament, you know, and so it's, there's a lot of things missing there, but, you know, what I like about those is, you know, guys show their preference, you know what I mean? And if you take a look at it, you know, like me and Jimmer ended up on being on a ton of them together because they priced me at one. They said, you know, I'm worth a dollar. And so, in all honesty, that makes me feel great because I was a part of great teams, man. You know, I was really successful. And when you really think about it, you know, all of the things that I was able to accomplish, freshman of the year, sixth man of the year, three championships, four times NCAA tournament, NCAA tournament win, and, you know, I broke three-point records. I mean, by the time I graduated, I was the winningest player in school history, three-point record holder. I mean, and I did all of that, and I was never the first option. You know, and so, and to me, it's just a testimony of the great teams that I was a part of and the great players I played with and just how special those, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, you know, from my freshman year all the way to, you know, I think it was the run, you know, that with Brock Zylstra senior year, I think, you know, how special that time were. And even afterwards, you know, there was, you know, the NIT Final Four and so on. And that's why I always say, right, and you get in a bigger argument, you know, that era of BYU basketball is the best one in program history. And, you know, look at that. Look at how many wins we had. Look how many titles we won. Look how many postseason we made. Look how many top 25s we had.
Yep.
You know, it's incredible for you to think about that Danny Ainge in his 4 years, as good as he was, Michael Smith and the guys in the 80s that a bunch of them went to the NBA. they never won conference championships the way we did.
Yeah.
You know, and so they never had the continual success that we did. And so we had a special group of guys, and the things that we achieved and accomplished during those years, it's, you know, like I said, I was an incredible, just, you know, a huge benefactor and receiver of just being a part of great teams and played with great players.
Jonathan Tavernari on the line, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. JT, let's play the soundbite for Mark Pope. Mark Pope was asked this question in his press conference. A really intriguing question. Do you feel like you have been losing recruiting battles due to NIL deals? This was his response.
Yeah, of course, yes. As this was introduced last summer, you know, the short answer is yes, of course. And, you know, without getting into specifics, yes. So, but that's okay. You know, there's a lot of filters here at BYU that actually are, in the end of the day, are going to give us a really incredible product. And right now, you know, that's certainly a heavy filter. And so, you know, that's a space where we're going to continue to grow and find out how to do it in a way that's in harmony with our university. And we've already seen incredibly special things happen. You know, I'm semi-confident that, you know, for example, Gideon George is one of the first NIL business owners now. You know, he owns and runs a business in Nigeria. You know, Trey Stewart, is a little bit different, but it's pretty incredible what he's done. He's, you know, he started his own business and he was the first, as far as we can report, the first business owner, Trey Stewart, that actually signed NIL deals with athletes, the first student athlete business owner that signed NIL deals for other athletes. And, you know, the three of our players now that have grown their own foundations, you know, that have 501s. So Gideon George Helping Hands and the Foos Foundation and the Tiki, the AAA Foundation, all are up and running now and doing extraordinary things that have all been pieced together kind of through NIL, where, you know, the storyline of NIL in a lot of places is guys receiving a check. What you're seeing from our guys is they're going to make a massive difference in the world. And so we're beyond proud of that. It might not be the open the door sell, but in the long run, we think it's a winning formula and it's pretty spectacular. And it's not just, you know, cash in your hand for the day, but it's actually providing life-changing opportunities for our guys and opportunities for them to change literally hundreds and thousands of people's lives that they get to work with. So, you know, we're growing in the area, and we think we're pushing in a little bit different direction, but I think it's going to be really special.
All right, JT, read between the lines here. What takeaways do you have from that particular commentary regarding NIL?
I would say that he is hoping that in the next general conference, Brother Nelson releases some funds to the NIL, to the NIL world. And so that's, to his point, NIL is a, you know, the transfer portal and NIL, you know, I'm good friends with Jake Billis. And I know that he's a huge supporter, guys getting paid and everything like that. But this is not a true college, a true collegiate principle, right? And so, and from a BYU perspective, it's never going to stick. I mean, it goes against a lot of our core foundations and our core beliefs. Right now, there are guys that have, you know, $20,000, $25,000. There are some football players that had six-figure deals or whatnot, but, you know, there are a lot of things that culturally it's not going to stick at BYU. It's just not going to happen. You know, it's not going to be like Alabama that you know, a booster is going to give, you know, $350,000 to a player, you know, I can't imagine that happening anytime soon. You know, and I got to be honest, I can't imagine that happening at all. Now, I have been known to not be right about some of these things, right? And we're not talking about basketball takes. But it to me, it's you are losing players. I mean, just today, you know, there was a kid from American Fork just down the street from BYU that he's playing in Michigan. And he's got major minutes in Michigan this year, right? And so there are a lot of things that come with the NIL and the transfer portal that are intertwined. It's just a different world. You know what I mean? I mean, think back, Ben, back when, you know, during our time with Max and Austin and Dennis and Harvey. I mean, Harvey would have gotten probably about, you know, a six-figure deal from, you know, a school back east or a school, you know, or a bigger school than BYU.
Sure.
Because BYU would never pay him. You know what I mean? And so it's interesting, you know, thinking about Tyler Hawes and thinking about Brendan Davies, thinking about Jimmer was highly recruited, but not to the point that BYU was going to miss on Jimmer, right? But you think about Nick Emery and you think about, you know, even Kyle Collinsworth. I mean, these were guys that were high-ranked recruits, right? And so I just don't think that that's something that's really going to, you know, launch at BYU. I mean, you think about Nikki Paisley Harding, Connor Harding's wife that played at BYU. And she was a huge social media sensation. She had, you know, probably like, you know, 20, 30,000 followers on Instagram and so on. And she wasn't able to capitalize on all of that, right? And so, and she did a little bit, but not to the extent that, you know, the twins from Fresno are able to capitalize in, you know, in Miami and that type of stuff. And so there are a lot of things that the BYU culture makes it difficult from a cultural perspective, right? About being, you know, responsible with the money and the way we live our lives. And, you know, from a religious perspective as well, I just don't think that, I think that's something that BYU is always going to struggle with. And to me, that's my opinion. And so, and I hope to be proved wrong. I really hope to be proved wrong. And, but, you know, for the time being, I think that BYU, this is definitely something that BYU is going to struggle, and even more as it goes into the Big 12.
Jonathan Tavernari, JT for 343, JT, the Brazilian Bomber, the American Assassin, always giving great takes, great perspective on all things related to hoop. Appreciate you hopping on, JT. How can we support you and what you got going on these days, JT? Anything we can do for you?
Hey, man, I appreciate you guys having me on. It's always a pleasure. And, you know, I think that, you know, if it's interesting, you know, the way BYU is positioned right now. You know, going to the Big 12, being a full revenue share partner right away. You know, I think that these are situations that, you know, will it get better? I really do. I really think it will, right? You think of somebody like from a basketball perspective, you know, Jackson Robinson. He's the type of athlete that BYU could never get, right? Mm. Long, athletic, good. And that's just not the type of guy that would come to BYU. I think that as BYU goes into the Big 12, more of that is going to happen, right? We already saw on the women's side, you know, with Ember, and, you know, she has, I think, six or seven McDonald's player of the Gatorade player of the year from high school, our own next year's roster. And so, and I think that's the fact that, you know, unfortunately, you know, there's no equal pay on the women's NIL perspective. And so, but I think that the girls are looking at BYU and going, huh, they're playing in the Big 12. I would rather go to BYU rather than go to Oklahoma State or rather than go to a Pac-12 school, because now BYU is going to be playing in the Big 12. And so I think that that same approach is going to happen a lot with a lot of football athletes, a lot of basketball athletes, that they're going to say, hey, why would I want to go to, you know, Oregon State, or why would I want to go to Washington State? I can go to BYU because BYU plays in the Big 12. why do I want to go to, a school in, a lower school in the Big Ten? Or why would I want to go to, the Atlantic 10 or, some Xavier or whatever the case may be? I can go to BYU because they are in the Big 12. And, there's a situation with the honor code. But again, Ben, people complained about the honor code back in the 60s, the same way they complained in the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, 2000s. So I just hope that BYU figured this out, because I don't know from your perspective, but for me, it's kind of sucky be able to not see BYU on TV and not seeing on the tournament and doing well. And, to me, it's sucky because it's my alma mater. It's a place that is dear and close to my heart. I owe everything that I have to BYU. And so to see it not doing well, in terms of win and success, it's sucky. So I hopefully that they will figure out a way to turn it around.
I'm sure they will. I hope they do. I have some positivity in my heart today, even though we're not in March Madness. But everything is possible. Anything is possible, as Kevin Garnett once taught me. JT, appreciate you. Great insight today. Thanks for hopping on.
Hey, thanks for having me. I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Enjoy your weekend, guys.
You too, man. We'll catch up with you later. Jonathan Tavernari, your thoughts, G-Man.
Man, he put forth a lot of stuff, as JT always does. But, yeah, I agree with him. It's got to change for BYU basketball. And it's hard to see a soft landing right now. Even JT struggled with providing that. But Coach Pope is relentless. It will not be due to lack of effort. I do know that. So, yeah, let's just hope better days are ahead.
There we go. That's a kind of a keeping up with the Cougars / relentless segment brought to you by Dental Pros of Utah, dentalprosofutah.com. All I'm asking you to do is give Dental Pros of Utah an opportunity to earn your business. If you've been told you need some sort of dental work done and you want to get a second opinion, it doesn't cost much to get a second opinion on your teeth. I've had many individuals come back to me and say, I'm just glad that I was grateful that I listened to you and that I gave Dental Pros of Utah a try to earn my business. And I think their takeaways are, we were educated better, we knew what the vision was, we understood our anatomy better, and we understood the techniques that were being employed, and we were able to conserve our teeth for the long term and save money in the long term as well. Hit us up, Dental Pros of Utah, dentalprosofutah.com. We'll go to break. Cougar Insider Report on the flip side. This is Cougar Sports, ESPN 960.